Your Honors, if it may please the Court. I, too, am unable to pronounce my client's name, so if you'll forgive me, I will refer to her either as Petitioner or Bachari today, which is her first name. This is the second time that my client is before Your Honors in the case of the same nature. She, in 2004 or 2007, came before you basically arguing the same thing, that she had failed to obtain a fundamentally fair trial in front of the immigration court. That at that time, the original case said that the petition's hearing was not fundamentally fair, and that just as in this case, just as in that case, we believe that this case should be remanded to provide her with an opportunity to receive a hearing that meets due process rights. Additionally, in this case, we feel that there have been egregious errors of law resulting in incorrect finding that there is a serious reason to believe that the petitioner committed a serious non-political offense outside of the United States. To give you a brief understanding of the background, my client was brought to the United States in 2001 by the United States government, a DEA agent, to possibly assist them in a drug sting, if you will. During the time, they requested that she write letters to various known drug operatives that she may be knowledgeable about. She did do exactly that. However, the DEA agents found her letters and the information that she provided to them unusable or not necessarily substantive for their purposes of completing an investigation of this nature. She was then provided an NTA for inadmissibility for not having a visa to enter the United States under Section INA 212A7AII, and then also for the illicit trafficking of drugs under INA 212A2C. My client applied for asylum, withholding under CAT, and deferral of removal due to past and future possibility of persecution. The judge found her ineligible for this and ordered her removed. We brought this case in front of Your Honors due to the fact that there were some egregious errors, as well as very questionable.
Well, errors, anyway.
The errors originally, in the original case, this court found that she was not provided a fundamentally fair trial due to the fact that there was instances of hearsay that was used that was inappropriate, but also mostly due to the fact that there was reliance on a warrant that did not even provide my client with her first and last name. And the judge relied on this warrant as appropriate evidence to determine that she was, in fact, a wanted criminal in Thailand.
Is there serious doubt as to whether or not she engaged in drug trafficking in Thailand?
Well, she's never been tried for it.
Well, I said, is there serious doubt that she engaged in drug transactions in Thailand?
The question becomes...
No, it's a yes or no.
I have serious doubt. I mean,
Does the record indicate serious doubt?
In the immigration court?
Yeah, wherever.
Okay. In the immigration court, the record does not reflect that due to the evidence that was submitted. The evidence that that was relied upon.
What serious doubt is there? What casts serious doubt? Does she say she didn't have anything to do with it?
She certainly said that she did not have serious doubt. The evidence that was submitted was hearsay on top of hearsay evidence. There was a warrant that did not include both her first and last name. There were two witnesses, neither of which said that they ever had met.
So she took the stand and testified she never engaged in any drug transactions at all.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Wow.
Additionally, the two witnesses that were presented by the government, one being an agent, Silip.
Don't try it. Give him an initial.
All right. The Thai, I'm not sure if I'm going to ever get good at it. He's a special agent with the Royal Thai Police. He claims to have investigated the petitioner. He testified that the petitioner sold him 350 grams of heroin to his informant. He wasn't present. He never saw her. He never witnessed her attempting to sell actually selling, engaging in the sale of any heroin. He did not provide the name of the informant. He did not provide a record that the informant provided to him. No reports of this. No other evidence. He claims to have had photos. They were never provided to the court. They were never provided to the petitioner for an appropriate cross-examination of that evidence to indicate that she possibly could have been involved in any type of drug trafficking or sale distribution. The other witness is Agent Frederick. He's a DEA agent. All the things that he testified to were specifically secondhand. He testified to the fact that they were secondhand, provided to him by agents in Bangkok through secondhand sources, hearsay on top of hearsay. He admitted to not even meeting the informants that provided this information, that they were unnamed sources, that there was possibly that they were possibly had been arrested and convicted themselves.
So there is no reason to believe she was engaging in that. Is that your point?
We had no reason to believe that she was engaging. She had a relationship with someone that may or may not have been a drug trafficker himself. And due to that relationship of a personal nature, they have assumed that she herself is a drug trafficker. That due to the fact that, based upon testimony of the agents, that they have supposedly have photographs and other documentation that demonstrate her relationship with what they say is a known drug trafficker.
There is no hearsay rule that excludes evidence in it.
There absolutely is not a hearsay rule in immigration court. However, this...
Why do you keep harping on the hearsay?
Pardon?
Why do you keep harping on the hearsay
aspect?
Well,
because the issue is the fundamentally fair issue. And so hearsay and saying about hearsay is that it's got to be limited to give the petitioner
a chance. Do I understand that the burden is on her to show she wasn't involved?
Pardon?
She has agreed that she was deportable. Is the burden on her to show she was not involved in drug trafficking?
Well, the burden does shift to her in this type of case when they have a notice to appear. But the government also has to have a basic they have to demonstrate that, in fact, she's either been convicted of a certain crime or anything like that. They don't have to show convictions, but they have to show that there is a reason to believe.
Indeed, they do.
Yeah, so, and...
At least there we are.
Pardon?
At least there we are.
And that's it exactly with... And the reason I guess I'm harping on the hearsay issue is that...
You're so used to it.
Well, the evidence must
so
be limited. You can't just rely solely on hearsay. Even in immigration court, it can't be just, I heard someone say this, and then you have a reason to believe.
That kind of hearsay I agree with.
There's got to be a chance, an opportunity to cross-examine witnesses, to have probative and fundamentally fair evidence, which is exactly what this court said the last time that we were in front of you, that this has to be a fundamentally fair hearing with an opportunity to cross-examine the evidence submitted, and it has to be probative. It can't be, I just have this unnamed source in Thailand that says that she was involved in drugs. Who is this unnamed source? What was their role in this? What's their credibility issues? She knows nothing about it. She is unable to argue against any of it. The only piece of evidence either one of these agents provided is the first agent provided the original warrant that this court itself said wasn't good enough, didn't even include both her first and last name. The second warrant was issued days before the hearing. I would assume to try to rectify the initial warrant. But there was no specific claims against the petitioner or anything like that. It was just now her name. The second piece of written evidence that was provided to the court to sustain these charges was something that Agent Frederick himself drafted. It was a PowerPoint presentation based upon evidence that he obtained from unnamed, uncollaborated sources. Hearsay on top of hearsay, and now on top of hearsay. I mean, there's nothing that is substantive or probative about any of this. And it denies the petitioner the opportunity to cross-examine and to evaluate and review the evidence against her, which is specifically exactly what this court required the court to do the last time that my client was in front of you. And due to the finding that she may or that they believe that she is a known drug trafficker, she therefore doesn't qualify for any of the relief that she was seeking. Most specifically,
was your client brought here to the United States by the United States in order to prosecute her?
No, not in order to prosecute her. They thought that she might have evidence available, but they did attempt to prosecute her. They did attempt to file charges against her. They dropped them.
What was the predicate for the bringing her over here? What was their stated reason for bringing her?
Again, she had a relationship with someone that they felt was a known drug trafficker.
Well, that's not a crime.
It's not a crime, but they felt that she may or may not have had information available.
Well, they were seeking only information, or were they going to bring her over here to the state in their request to bring her over? They were going to try her, prosecute her?
I am not certain as to whether or not the specific, you know, when the agent brought her here, if they were specifically at that time looking to prosecute her, but they did attempt to do so, and they did drop the charges because they didn't have any.
The government, in its statement of the case, starts out by saying that she was extradited from Thailand to stand trial on drug charges in the Northern District of Illinois. Is that true or not true?
I was under the impression that they brought her here and that not for necessarily the extradition.
What did the extradition papers call for? What did they say they wanted her here for?
My understanding was that the government wanted her here to provide evidence and information.
You cannot extradite people for that. You have to extradite them for purposes of standing trial.
Again, Your Honor, I was under the impression that she had
whatever impression you're under, what does the record show?
I would not be able to answer that question.
We pause on the threshold of a brilliant discovery. If she was extradited here for purposes of prosecution, that's different than just being brought over here because they thought she might have something that they wanted to hear. They could do that there.
I agree with you, Judge, and I can also tell you that assuming that it was an extradition, they did drop any charges and chose not to.
I understand that, but you don't know whether there was an extradition? How did she get here?
My understanding was that she was brought here by the United States government without a visa, and I cannot specifically answer
they
that
just
it was through extradition.
Hauled off and picked her up or said send mail her to us or what?
I would assume not.
I would assume too, but I want to know how she got here.
I'm unable to tell you specifically how she entered the
United States. Did she provide them with evidence of drug trafficking in Thailand?
She could have done so, which leads me to believe that you're correct, that it was through extradition.
I beat you up to the point where you're now into your rebuttal time. So.
Okay. Well, then I will take a seat and come back.
Let me carry on with the government.
Thank you. Ms. Farrell.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Corey Farrell on behalf of the Attorney General.
With my companion's permission, did the government extradite her for purposes of prosecuting her?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that she was extradited here and charged with conspiracy to distribute narcotics.
And was she tried in that charge?
No, she was not tried on that charge.
Why not?
There's no evidence in the record as to why the case was dismissed against her. All we have is a one-line or two-line motion to dismiss without.
Well, she was brought over here then for some purpose that the government wanted either to use her or to convict her, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which did they use, too? They didn't convict her, so we leave it out. Did they use her?
It appears that they did use her to write.
Does it strike you as being fundamentally unfair that they lure her over here to use her and then when they are finished with her, they throw her back where she'll probably be chopped into small pieces?
No, Your Honor. First, the record does not indicate that any results.
Do you doubt it?
No. Excuse me? And here we have a case where She admitted to engaging in a drug negotiation with an undercover DEA.
At whose instigation?
At the DEA's instigation.
So they had her negotiate with a known drug thing, and then they say, see, you're part of a drug pyramid. Is that it?
She agreed to supply.
I understand that, but they talked her into it, did they?
I don't believe they.
They brought her over here, and they didn't have any such discussion with her. That's what you're representing to me.
I'm talking about what happened in Thailand.
Yeah, so am I. Thailand and here.
Yes, Your Honor. And what I'm trying to state is that when she was in Bangkok and she appeared in a hotel room, she agreed to supply 2 kilograms of heroin.
Uh-huh. So then they lugged her over here. Under what guise?
That she engaged in conspiracy to sell narcotics.
Is it a crime in the United States to engage in a conspiracy in Thailand?
Your Honor, I can't answer that question.
That doesn't answer itself.
But there's an international investigation in the trafficking between Bangkok and...
But in order to get her involved in the United States, they'd have to bring her here, wouldn't they, to proceed with the plot, conspiracy?
I don't believe they would have to bring her here. I believe that the trafficking between the United States and Thailand.
And that's what they were investigating in Thailand and here.
Yes, Your Honor. The DEA agent testified that it was an ongoing.
Why did they have to bring her here to have her cooperate with them?
Based on my understanding of the record, they brought her here to prosecute her. Now, as I stated before, the charges were.
Then they decided not to.
That's correct. And we don't know, based on this record, why the charges were dismissed against her. So I don't think there's any evidence that they brought her here only to provide assistance.
As I understand it, the Attorney General could, in his discretion, keep her here.
Your Honor, I'm not sure if that is the case.
He has no discretion at all?
He has discretion, but here the agency, after several hearings, determined that there was reason to believe.
Well, I don't doubt that. What I want to know is, does the Attorney General have the authority to set that aside and grant her asylum?
Your Honor, I believe the Attorney General does have discretion in these matters. I don't know that he has the discretion to grant her asylum. And as I was saying, that the board relied on reasonable and substantial evidence to support the charge of inadmissibility.
Do I have the right timeline? Was she indicted here and then, pursuant to that indictment, brought from Thailand? To answer that indictment?
Yes, I believe she was indicted here first.
First.
And then
they extradited.
And then they issued the extradition warrant. And then she was arrested in Thailand based on the U.S. extradition.
And did she plead to that here?
No, Your Honor, she did not.
They didn't get as far as to enter a plea?
No, she did not enter a plea, or I believe she pled not guilty, and then the charges were dismissed the day the trial was supposed to start. And the same evidence supports the agency's finding that she is not eligible for asylum and withholding as supports the inadmissibility charge.
There was evidence, I assume, presented to the grand jury with regard to the same conduct?
Your Honor, the record doesn't reflect that, but an extradition warrant was issued by a U.S. District Court here, and that was based on the sale of narcotics.
Your record, I take it, does not include the proceedings before the grand jury that led to her indictment.
No, Your Honor. No, the record is very limited as to her U.S. proceedings, and that is why on remand the DEA agent was brought in from Thailand and a police officer from the Royal Thai Police, and they testified to their personal ongoing investigation of petitioner and her drug activities in Thailand and her connections in Thailand and the United States.
The basis for the removal action, at least initially, was she was here illegally?
The notice to appear charged her with the not in possession of a valid entry document and the reason to believe. They charged her with removability on both bases, and she conceded removability on the...
And she knew she didn't have any authority to be here other than the fact that we brought her here.
And she was paroled into the United States when she was extradited, and then when then her parole was revoked and she was taken into custody. And which also on remand, the immigration judge went over the charges again, and she reiterated that she conceded.
They brought her over here without asking her permission, and then after they got here, they said, okay, you're here illegally, get out.
And, Your Honor, she conceded removability.
I know she did.
On that charge, and... Yeah. And she was brought over here pursuant to a validly executed extradition warrant.
Amen. No question about that.
And so that she was paroled into the United States to stand trial.
It's an interesting world we live in, isn't it?
And this is a very interesting case. Petitioner also raises a deferral of removal under the Convention on Torture claim, and the agency provided several reasons for finding it's not more likely than not that she would be tortured upon her return. The court has any further questions?
Thank you very much. I'm not really that mean, you know.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I would like to take an opportunity to answer one of the questions that you asked.
Fire away.
Does the Attorney General have the authority to...
Oh, I knew he did. It was a rhetorical question.
Well, I was going to say that absolutely they can drop the charges at any time. They can file for various visas on her behalf.
I know precisely what they can do.
So there's all kinds of things that the government could do.
If they wanted to. But they don't have to.
It also begs the question, based upon counsel's argument, as to why the government would find someone that was so important that they would extradite, which I will absolutely concede to, and would charge and yet drop those same charges if she's a known drug trafficker. That if they had the evidence necessary to...
We do not explore the reasons the U.S. Attorney or the Attorney General...
Absolutely, we should not necessarily explore their reasons. However,
none of our business is to begin with, but go ahead.
It goes to the issue of whether or not there was probative evidence necessary to sustain the charge against her that she was a known drug trafficker for the purpose of the immigration.
You wanted her tried?
Pardon?
She wanted to be tried? She objected strenuously when he dismissed
it. I would imagine that she would not want to be tried. I don't know anyone that would wish to be tried for anything along those lines, but it does beg the question as to whether or not the evidence was available. Finally, in regards to the CAT claim and the other forms of relief that the petitioner was seeking, none of this was available to her once there was a decision made that she was a known drug trafficker or reason to be a known drug trafficker, and that she was precluded from all of those forms of relief. And the fact that this decision was based upon evidence that was sketchy at best and certainly couldn't be cross-examined, it has to be questions as to whether or not the judge made an error when she determined that the petitioner was not, in fact, eligible for that relief. I see that my time is up if you have no further questions for me.
I believe so. Thank you very much. Thanks to all counsel. Case will be taken on.